Standing on the deck of a ship in Puerto Rico in 1974, I looked out over the bay area of a literal paradise. It was warm. Green trees, blue sky, and bright sun. I can still almost smell the amazing ocean breeze with that salt air smell. As I stood on the edge of the deck looking down, it seemed the water was so crystal clear, like no water I had ever seen other than the clear mountain streams of my home ground in North Carolina, maybe even clearer. I got the big idea to see just how clear the water was, so I ran to my locker and got a couple big shiny coins I had kept from another country and hurried back topside. Some other fellows and I stood still to watch as I dropped the first coin into the clear blue-green water. I flipped the coin with a gentle flip, and we all watched it dive with a soft arc to the water. There was a plop, and we watched with wonder as the shiny coin waggled and flipped and gyrated on its way to the bottom, flashing light as it went down. Down and down, and possibly we could still see the coin falling and flashing for the longest time. Of course, it eventually stopped as it came to rest on the bottom, or we lost sight of it as the coin got too deep to catch enough light to reflect. Either way, we all marveled at the clear water. In my life, flowing from my heart is water clearer than any water on earth. It is clear water, like the water from the rock in the desert where Moses asked God for water in Exodus 17:6, and God said, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, hey, that's what I want. God water. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a late night broadcast for late night people to ponder on their way to winding up their evening. Clear water. What a beautiful picture God gives us of his heart and heaven in the simple vision of clear water. Can you imagine a never-ending stream of God water coming to you and flowing from you, never running dry? Ha! Wow. So sit back, put your feet up, and give a listen, and I'll be right back. What is the quality of the water you drink? No. I don't mean the kind in a glass or a bottle. I mean the spiritual water you drink. What is in it? How does drinking from the well, which will never run dry, impact your life? And I don't mean the neighbor guy down the street who insists that he's the representation of God in your town. I'm talking about your relationship with the one and only Jesus. Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman at a well and mentioned living water. When she asked him where to get living water, he replied in John 4:13, "Anyone who drinks earth water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of living water, springing up into everlasting life." Now, do you see that? He said, "This water," meaning the earth water drawn from the well which had been dug in the earth. Then, in verse 14, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give," which is water she had no idea about, nor did anyone else. Not only will the person who drinks water that God gives them never thirst again, but that person will spring up into a fountain of water of everlasting life. Wow, wow. According to Jesus, if I drink God water, I get to be a living well of water for others also. Now, that is some kind of water. In Jeremiah 2:13, God reveals himself to be that very wellspring. Now, I love to look at the examples in the Bible and see them, not only for what they are, but also look at them as if I'm reading a play script. What are the props and how are they significant? Who are the characters? What were they like? Do I identify with them? And what was their driving motivation beneath the surface of their presentation face? Not their true face, but their presentation face, and you know what I mean? It's not the real you, it's the face that you give other people. That's your true face. The woman at the well was a Samaritan. She wasn't actually committed to any particular vein of faith. She just had an idea. She was probably pretty uneducated and more than likely a nobody of sorts living at a lower class status. She was not morally upright like Nicodemus. She had no clue who Jesus was, and it wasn't likely she recognized any of her own merits. I think, and this is just what I think, she was probably quick to speak and responded emotionally, as opposed to being slow to speak with careful ponderance as to the weight of her words. She didn't say, "Oh, sir, you look like a Jewish rabbi. I'm hungry to know God. Can you tell me how to do that?" No. She was just doing her regular chores, carefully keeping to herself. And then she meets a stranger who asks her for a drink of water. She wasn't looking to know God on the surface of things. Chances are good she was rejected and isolated by the people of her town due to her live-in boyfriend and failed marriages. It all caused her to justify keeping her distance from God. She wasn't obviously seeking him. He was obviously seeking her, though. And then Jesus drew her into a conversation which opened with the question about a drink of water. Take special note here. Jesus was doing as the Father directed. He didn't go to the town council first to present the gospel. He did not go to the people who wore "I know" clothes and walked in important person shoes. He didn't make his appeal first and only to the local church leaders, and then did the trickle-down method, letting them spread the word as they saw fit. He didn't have the disciples go before him, putting up posters and sending out email flyers saying he was coming to town. He didn't hire a marketing committee and do some mass emails. He purposely went to one place when it was not likely anyone would be around, met one uneducated, low-class woman who was busy avoiding the likely ridicule of other women, and during the hottest time of the day, he made one request for one drink of water. The Lord is drawing each of us into a conversation, specific for each person, and even pursues a conversation with people like myself, who was a most unlikely candidate considering I was uneducated, immoral, quick to speak, quick to anger, and low class. And he'd like very much for us to be the ones to ask him for a drink of water. Everyone, as far as I know, loves a good, cool, clear, refreshing drink of water. After all, human beings are approximately 60 to 75% water, so it's totally understandable that we would have a love affair with water. What about a drink of water for our spiritual person then? The value of heaven's refreshment is alluded to in Psalm 72, verse 6, where it says, "The Lord shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers watering the earth." Meaning, God, water, refreshes the soul of man and makes us to grow and be like a lush field. The value of water from heaven is referenced in another place. In Psalm 107, verse 35, the Lord says, "He will change waterless places in the earth into clear water. Dry and thirsty souls will be refreshed with God's special blend of heavenly water." If we are oh so careful about the earth water we drink, doesn't it also stand to reason we should be even more careful as to the spiritual water we drink? Yeah, it stands to reason we should be just as selective about water for our spirit and soul. Not all water is considered potable, meaning suitable for drinking. But I must add that my idea of what suitable for drinking means could certainly be different than someone in a third world nation, which is left no choice but to drink fouled water because that's all there is. God water has very different properties than earth water. God water is as constant as God himself. It is so much more than earth water. Unlike earth water, I certainly hope I'm in over my head in the well, which never runs dry. God's refreshing, clear water comes to us with very high percentages of wisdom, vitality, privilege, and promise. It has thirst-quenching truth, decision-making balance, and over-the-top emotional and mental stability as seen in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, yes, don't you know the water from the rock is very consistent and stable? And if we will drink from the well which Jesus offers, we can be consistent and stable too. Unlike earth water, if you compress it, it doesn't explode. The water Jesus will give you only gets better under pressure. And when we drink it, we get better under pressure too, believe it or not. I don't know anyone who says they can't wait to be under pressure. But Jesus did say, in this world we will have trouble, so we ought not to be surprised when life does pressurize us. When pressure comes, you will get better. For the Lord has given us strength and refreshing we're not even tapped into yet. He is bigger than everything we have not imagined yet. We are guaranteed consistent purity and wholesome goodness in every drop of God water. So, let's see. What else comes with the water Jesus promised us if we will let ourselves drink? In drinking from heaven's fountains, we get patience, fortitude, and endurance. God's clear water is imbued and completely permeated with God Himself. With every drink of God water, we get God, and with Him comes all He is. In Him is justice, which runs down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. In the water Jesus gives us, there is life, and not earth life, but God life, not just eternal life, but the breath of life Himself. Psalm 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, and that is better than earth life. God's life-giving, clear water is real and it comes with vision. Provision, which is provided to advance the vision, and right perception. Ha! Now did you get that? It comes with vision and also provision, which is something which God provides us in order to advance the vision. You might ask, how can water, any water, have all this stuff? I say, if you would accept the free drink of water Jesus offers you, your eyes would be opened, your ears would see beyond the physical, your ears would hear more than your own voice and the dull hum of the world around you, and your mouth would suddenly have the potential and right to become an instrument of goodness. Yes, that's what I said. The right. because we can't speak God words in power without God in our core. Neither can we do good works without the goodness of God at our core. If we don't have the goodness of God at our core, then all of our good works are called dead works. His voice must inhabit our voice. His goodness must inhabit our actions in order for them to be good works. It starts with a long, cool drink of water from the well which never runs dry, Jesus. I believe mankind, in general, has an overwhelming thirst for earnestness, integrity, openness, real praise, and not the dirty water of men's praise. They long to participate in real worship, and not just the worthless worship of imaginary things, man-made things or ideas. And man-made things include people that are self-important. Man-made self-importance. I believe people are leaving church by the droves because the well-meaning church is doing a pattern that sells and fills seats, and the masses need Jesus, not a pattern or a show. Drinking from the fountain of God breaks the illusion of darkness and the dissatisfactory water of the world. Let us become disillusioned with the illusion of the devil. Think carefully here, now come on. We can't become disillusioned unless there was an existing illusion to begin with. Do any of God's benefits sound like anything you would want? Clear water. God water. The water which flows from the fountain of God is the ultimate drink, the utmost of God's highest. Psalm 36:8-10. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. In that scripture, the words fountain of life means literally water that is flowing from the one who is alive, living and flowing, green and vibrantly alive. See means to have vision, to see and be seen. The water is a provision, meaning anything which advances the vision. And the word light is literally the bright, clear light of God's face, Yehovah, Yahweh, who is Israel's light. So let's reread that with those definitions, replacing the words with word definitions. And you, who is exceedingly God, give them to drink from the abundance of your prosperity and favor. For with you, who is our exceeding God, is the originating flow of vibrant and streaming life. In the bright, clear light of your face, we are given the vision of having the bright, clear light of your presence, and all which advances the vision to the end of the universe. Come to the well which never runs dry, drink of Jesus all you can hold, and after you've drunk, drink more. In this lost and dying world, the water of God, the love of God, the goodness of God is our one-stop resource which will never run dry. Doesn't it sound attractive to have your heart and soul never feel like a parched, lonely desert place again? No, man, no one in leadership can give you that. I don't care how flashy they are or how important they tell you they are. No man can give you that. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light and my yoke is easy." And I want you to take note there. Who is he talking to? He's not talking to the sinners. He's talking to the church. Friends, that's because any other yoke is not easy, and any other burden is not light. When Jesus hands you a glass of God water, receive it and be glad. You'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Think about it. Thus ends another evening at Outposts, broadcast semi-live from the late-in-the-day cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge, and every evening is pleasant. I'm Social Porter. This program was brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Kevin Perry and Tommy of the Mebane Freedom League, Hilltop Boots and Shoes on Main Street, The Candy Cottage in Salmon, Idaho, Sisters Coffee Company in Sisters, Oregon, and our beloved friends, Jeff and Karen at Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Menger Quartet, Billy McLaughlin, Mark Egan, Jeff Titus, Plas Johnson, and Trevor Gordon Hall. All music is licensed by BMI. Let's set ourselves adrift on the deep, clear water of God's love for us. Cast off the restraints, untie from the deck of insecurity, and let yourself go into the beyond of the beyond in an adventure with God. Friends, He'll never let you down. Be strong and courageous. Stand up straight and tell the truth, even if it's to your own hurt. Tell the truth. I didn't say just don't lie. I mean to be honest. You know, when I was a kid, my parents taught me to not lie, but nobody but God ever taught me how to be honest. Tell the truth and live the life of Christ like you mean it. And I'll talk to you next time. Amen and amen.